Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
John chapter 20. This is God's Word. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then also went in, saw, and believed. For they did not yet understand from the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. John is writing with a purpose, and he is very clear about what that purpose is. His purpose is that you would believe, and that believing, you would have life in Jesus' name. But as we look at this passage, we see a word or a variation on that word that's used over and over and over and over, and it's at the heart of what he's writing about here. It has to do with seeing. Verse 1, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 11, verse 12, verse 14, 15, 18, 20, 25, 27, 29, all of them dealing with seeing. Do you believe what you see? Have you ever misseen something or seen something and not understood it? There's a lot of that going on in this passage. You've heard the phrase, seeing is believing? Yeah, well, I understand what that means. There are times when I feel like, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. But there are times when I see it and I still don't believe it. You know what I mean? Look at this passage with me. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. We don't usually see as well in the dark, do we? But she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. That she could tell. And that was alarming. Because she was going in order to provide additional care and burial preparation, if you will, for Jesus. In the previous chapter, we learned that 70 pounds of spices and so forth had been piled on Jesus' body as they wrapped him in the grave clothes. But Mary wasn't the one who got to do it. She wanted to go and make sure things were right. And so she had come in order to try and do this. If you check the other gospels, she wasn't alone, but because she's going to have a singular encounter with Jesus, John focuses in on her presence. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." We don't know. She was, as I said, one of the women who had gone there. What do you do? It didn't occur to her that what Jesus had said he was going to do, he had done. Jesus had said that he was going to rise from the dead. But that was impossible. That doesn't happen. Now, Jesus had brought Lazarus back, but once Jesus is dead, there's nobody to do that. Except Jesus, who keeps his promises, does exactly what he said, and what he had been saying throughout the centuries. Peter will understand it better soon, but he doesn't understand it yet. On the day of Pentecost, Peter's going to say, this had to happen because this is what was prophesied. And he gives as an example David, who, speaking by the Holy Spirit, said, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. He was prophesying concerning Messiah and the fact that he would be raised to life. This was the promise of God, and it was given repeatedly in the scriptures, but they didn't see it. They didn't understand it yet. She saw that the stone had been removed, but she didn't really understand what was going on. Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, as John likes to point out, you know, all these people had personalities. How would you like to have to hang out with somebody who was always saying, yeah, but remember, he loved me the most? I don't mean he didn't love the others, but Jesus and I were like this, okay? We were really close. Would that bother you? It'd be like, okay, you've said that a couple of times already. We all heard you. Now can we please not hear that anymore? He's like, no, I just don't want anybody to forget. I was the one, okay? I was the one. I was there at the foot of the cross when you guys scattered, okay? You guys all took off, but I was there with the ladies closer than anybody else, and Jesus spoke to me from the cross and said to look after his mom. That was me. I mean, we just read this in the scriptures and accept it, and it's true, but it would be off-putting if it was somebody in this church saying that. Right? Wouldn't it bother you? Okay, so maybe we need to be more forgiving of each other and more loving toward one another and realize that if somebody keeps saying that, there's got to be some reason. When they raced to the tomb, they were running together, but John wants us to know that he outran Peter and got there first. Now, why am I laboring this point? Because I want you to understand, these were real people who were absolutely astonished by what happened. And the kind of detail that is given about how the cloths were, and this one was not with the others, it was off to one side, that is eyewitness detail. That's the kind of thing that investigators look for when they're trying to decide if somebody's telling the truth, okay? Does the story hold up? Are the details consistent? And does it sound like they were really there or that they're just saying they were there? This is an eyewitness account by somebody who, when he got to the tomb, he outran Peter, but when he got there, he looked in, but he didn't go in. And then Peter, who was older and not in quite as good shape, runs up, maybe huffing and puffing, who knows, and he goes straight into the tomb. And so then John went in, okay? John's the first one there, but he's looking in. Peter gets there second and runs on in, and John follows. And both of them saw. They saw all through this. Verse 5, stooping down, John saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who'd reached the tomb first, he emphasizes again, then also went in, saw, and believed. For they did not yet understand from the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So John says, I saw and believed. But what did he believe? I don't think it was entirely clear to John. Because when Jesus shows up, they think it must be a ghost. They're having trouble with this. You read the different gospel accounts, and it's very clear these guys weren't saying, hey, Peter, it's exactly as Jesus said. The scriptures have been fulfilled, and Christ is risen on the third day. That was not what was going on. But faith was growing. Belief was growing. They were increasingly aware something major has happened here. He saw and believed. Then they returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. And as she was crying, she stooped to look. Again, what's going on? She's looking and verse 12, she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. Now, Peter and John hadn't seen that. How'd they get there? When did they get there? Apparently, they had the ability to just show up in the tomb without having to walk past her to get inside, because she doesn't see them until she looks inside. And when she looks in, she sees two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said, "Why are you crying?" She still isn't thinking resurrection, is she? She says, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." Her vision of Jesus is a dead man. When she thinks about him, she's picturing the body of Jesus having been taken away by somebody and placed somewhere, and she's wanting to take care of that body. She's still not believing Jesus is risen. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus. Wow! She saw Jesus. She didn't know who it was. Her eyes were clouded by tears. Jesus' appearance after the resurrection was often such that he was not recognized at first. But there's something else going on. The last person she expected to encounter standing and talking was Jesus. And so it was just unbelievable. Okay, that wasn't one of the options for her mind to process. She saw Jesus, but did she really see? She saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. He speaks to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" This is the one she's seeking. And he asks her, "Who are you seeking?" And she supposes it's the gardener, jumping to the wrong conclusion. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus calls her by name, Mary. And in that moment, she recognizes the shepherd's voice. She realizes who it is. And she turns around, and she says, in the local dialect, which Jesus spoke and she did too, "Rabboni, teacher, teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her. "I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Wait a minute. I thought John so clearly established at the start of his gospel and then all through the gospel that Jesus is God. Yes. But he also establishes all through the gospel that Jesus is one of us. God became a man. And when Jesus died, he opened the way for us to have an intimate relationship with God, so that instead of just knowing about him, we could know him. And Jesus says, he's not just my Father. He's your Father. Who are we talking about? We're talking about my God and your God. I want you to know him as your Father. Jesus has taught that all along, but they're still very slow to pick it up. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then told them what he had said to her. Notice again the emphasis, seeing, 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 over and over. This becomes all the more vital when Jesus shows up. Thomas isn't there. And notice, it says they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. This is all about seeing and believing. They saw and they believed. Jesus speaks to them and he says, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you. But Thomas wasn't there. And so when Thomas hears about it, Thomas says, no, I just don't believe it. And I won't believe it. No matter how many times you tell me, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it for myself and touch the wounds. That's what it'll take for me to believe. A week goes by, and Jesus hasn't come and shown himself again. What was it like those days? Did the others know that he was coming at the end of a week? No. No clue. Days are going by, and all they have is the memory of what they saw. But Jesus shows up after a week. And when he does, Thomas is there. The doors are locked because these guys are living in fear. They're not sitting around plotting world missions. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Jesus shows up in a locked room. They were trying to keep Jesus out, but they weren't trying to let him in either. And I love the fact that this was not a case where Jesus knocked. Okay? Revelation 3. This is a situation where they're huddled in fear, and all of a sudden Jesus is there. And he says to Thomas, here, reach out and touch me. And Thomas worships. Because now he's seen, and so he believes. And Jesus says to him, verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I don't know where you are in your journey with God. I don't know if you really believe or if you are still waiting for it to be proved. How do I know? How can I be sure? Is it really so? I do know this. Jesus is alive. My telling you isn't going to be enough. But if you will reach out to Jesus, he'll meet you where you are. I know that. And I've seen him do it over and over and over. Jesus says to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John goes from that directly into this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. God's word is given to us so that we might believe. I can't do your believing for you. The person that you're sitting by can't do your believing for you. Your grandma who prayed for you can't do your believing for you. You have to decide. What do you believe? Do you believe it's true? Do you want to know if it's true? Are you willing to obey him? If you discover it's true, God is speaking to you and calling you by name. I pray that you will believe.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.